Okay, today is December 1st, 2018. Today is not a teaching. Today is a discussion about kosher, okay? And we're here with the House of David Fellowship, and so this is Rick Blankenship. And as I told Lee, what I wanted to do today for today's time for this, and again, I don't want to call it a teaching, but we're all in this walk, and we understand that Leviticus 11 especially goes through our dietary, what God says we can eat and what we can't eat. And in today's environment that we are in, there are a lot of things that are very confusing. Hold on, my computer is doing something. There it is. I don't know why it's doing that. And I don't know why that's up there. Okay. So, all right. That should take care of that issue. Okay. So, before I even get into any of the details, my first question is, should you leave before I start saying anything, okay? And I just fall under this category of, if I don't know, then I'm not accountable, okay? However, looking at what Scripture says about this, Leviticus 4, 27 and 28 says, if anyone of the common people, that's us, okay, the common people sins unintentionally by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, and for his sin which he has committed. So if you don't know that you're doing something wrong, you're still guilty, but you don't know that you're guilty. But once you become aware that you're guilty, then a sacrifice is required. And then, of course, we jump into the apostolic writings, and we go to Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And it's like, man, that's a heavy one. No longer a sacrifice, okay? And of course, you know, in the church, we always say, well, Jesus' blood covers everything, and therefore, but it's a responsibility for us to try to figure this stuff out. So I go back to my original question, is like, should we even have this discussion? Because if you don't know that you're doing something wrong, and I'm not saying that I'm right, but there are things that is happening that takes place with our food that once you know it, it's like, oh, you mean I can no longer do that? Well, I'm not going to tell you can't do that. But in my walk, I'm trying to walk that line is where I'm coming from, okay? So with that said, does anyone want to leave? Okay, so everyone's staying seated, so all right. Back on June 1, 2013, this is not, by the way, on the website archives, Lori Johnson did a teaching from about Leviticus 11 and the dietary laws, and she goes through a whole bunch of stuff, but there were a couple of times that she said, oh, that's a really good we could go and go down that rabbit trail. Well, today's that rabbit trail, okay? So if you want the teaching on the Leviticus 11, ask Lee for the teaching, the PowerPoint, the recording. He can send it to you, and you can listen to Lori's, but that's not what my intent is. I want to go down those rabbit trails, and it's like, how do we walk this stuff out? Okay? So, first thing are, you know, when we go into the grocery store, we have something on our side, at least, maybe, and those are the kosher symbols, Okay? And there are certain kosher symbols that we can count on. However, food manufacturers are also out there trying to, I don't know if it's actively try to deceive us.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, well, but there are markings out there that are not really kosher symbols, but we assume that that's what it means. And I will show that to you. So I categorized them as reliable kosher symbols versus unreliable. But before we even get into that, the next question, the first thing I should ask is, are the kosher symbols a scam? Okay? If you go out and you do a search on kosher symbol scam, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. And there are people out there that says it's nothing more than basically a Jewish mafia riding roughshod over the food manufacturers, and they have to pay this price in order to get the kosher symbol to be placed onto the food, and they have to pay that, and if they don't, then all the Jewish people in the world or America will not buy their products, and therefore it's going to hurt them more monetarily. And that's the way that it's presented. But then, hold on, as I'm reading each one of these articles and I'm going through, the common thread that's going across all of these tend to lean towards white supremacist websites, anti-Semitic websites. And I'm like, huh, okay. Maybe they're trying to just say this, and I don't know. I haven't found any at least the articles I read, and I went through quite a few, that didn't seem to have some sort of white supremacist, neo-Nazi, anti-Semitic bent to the organization that was writing the article. Okay? So take that for what it's worth. You can do your own research on it. The way I look at it is someone has gone through the process, and they are saying that this food is kosher. It has markings. Okay? You were going to say something, Mike?
Yeah, it's more on the lines of very similar to the organic symbol. Well, the things that are saying that they're organic, and it's the same thing. They have to pay the FDA to do that. Yeah.
Okay, so the organic falls under that.
And I think it's by percentage, too.
What do you mean by percentage?
So if it's got 1% of pesticides in it,
it's pretty organic. I see. It can still call itself organic,
yeah.
But anything over whatever that percentage is,
yeah.
Then it's non-organic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's huge. It's a broad scale. All sorts of stuff.
You know, I hadn't planned on saying this, but as I was throwing my notes together, but this is, as I'm researching all this stuff, the only surefire way is to grow your own plant. I mean, totally go off the grid and grow your own plant. But see, even when you do that, you have to make sure you get heirloom seeds.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you don't get heirloom seeds, then you're getting genetically modified type of seeds. And that is, you know, it's like, wow, where do we go in this day and age? And I can't grow everything, you know? And I've told Lee many times, it's like, you know, maybe there's something to this commune stuff. But then I remember Phil Eidlin, I said that to him once. He started laughing. He's like, Rick, we can't even agree in a fellowship. What makes you think we can live together? I'm like, huh, that's a good point, you know? So what do we do? And hence today's discussion. It's just like, what do we do? So let's keep going. Here are the reliable kosher symbols, okay? Here's a group of them. This is not exhaustive. But these are the more common ones, the national ones. You have right up here, you have the circle U, You also have the Kof K, okay, the letter Kof K, which is another one that's national. Those tend to be the Circle U and the Kof K tend to be the two big national ones. And then you have more of the regional ones, okay, that I've seen this one. Some flour tortilla. There are whole wheat flour tortillas that I don't know if Costco still sells them, but that's the marking that's on the whole wheat flour tortillas in Costco. I've seen that one, the CRC. And then you can see there's a bunch of other regional ones that are throughout there. If you see, by the way, kosher and it says Perev next to it, that just means it's vegetable, okay? Perev. But it's kosher. And I don't know, some of the things I've read is, like for Passover, the greens that go on the Seder plate, the rabbis or you are to inspect those to make sure there are no bugs or mites or anything on them, which are non-kosher, in order for it to be kosher for Passover to go on the Seder plate. Okay? So all of these things come into play. And then there's, as I was alluding to, there are kosher for every day, but then there's extreme kosher for Passover. There are certain things that, you know, like your matzah boxes says kosher for Passover. Your cottage cheese, we eat cottage cheese a lot. It's marked kosher for Passover. So there's an extra process that goes into being kosher for Passover. It does not contain any yeast or what's the Hebrew word for, it's not actually yeast, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry?
Seor,
yes. Okay, yes, sir.
When you say kosher for Passover, would that also mean kosher for a Feast of Unleavened Bread week?
I don't see why not. Okay. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was thinking when you said that, I was thinking Sukkot. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the way that they look at it, and by the way, Jackie, as I see you taking this picture, I'm going to send this email it all out, okay? All of my links, everything. I'm going to email it to you. You do with it as you want. These are just things that I've collected over the past 6 years trying to figure this stuff out, okay? But back to your question, in Israel, the Jews, however you want to say it, they look at Passover as being the entire 7 days.
Okay.
Passover and unleavened bread. And you can hear it called the Week of Unleavened Bread, which also includes Passover, or the Week of Passover, which obviously means Passover and the 7 days. Okay? So yes, kosher for Passover means it's good for unleavened bread.
Okay, good.
Okay? Because, again, it goes back to that kosher for Passover status means that it's been certified no yeast or... And I, for the life of me, I can't think of the word, Seor. There's another word that I'm wanting to lean to. But anyway, it doesn't have that.
Okay.
All right, so these are the reliable kosher symbols. But as I said, there are a few food manufacturers that will put stuff on their products to kind of make you think, oh, that's kosher. And... here is an example. This is not the only one. My yogurts, I used to buy Dannon yogurts. And on Dannon yogurt, it was the same thing. But especially for a product like this, and we're going to talk about gelatin in a little bit. If you look, there's a K right there. Kosher. Same thing on my Dannon yogurt. There's a K. Oh, and this was in my early walk. And it was Lori who told me, she's like, that doesn't mean anything. That just, they could put a B there. They put a K to trick you. Okay? Whoops, I didn't want to do that.
Oh,
where am I at?
Jesus,
there's the K. So you think, oh, that's kosher. Well, gelatin, they're... Gelatin is made from bone or skins of animals. It can also be made from the skins of fish, okay? But then when you do that, in order to get the kosher symbol for the skin, gelatin from fish skins, now we're getting into rabbinic tradition and how each, you saw all of these different houses of kosher that provide these, how they establish everything. Okay, it's not a universal standard, one Jewish rabbi, everyone agrees. The Talmud shows us that, okay? There's arguments both sides in what they do with everything. So with the fish skins, some say that you have to inspect every single skin that comes through and make sure it comes from a clean fish in order to be used. Others say, well, that's really not possible, and if the plant that produces this is only handling, let's say, salmon, then we can kind of guess that only salmon fish will be produced from that plant, so that's good enough for us. So you see, it goes across the whole spectrum on how they determine what is kosher and what is not kosher. Okay? But typically, to make gelatin, it's pork skin. And there's a process that goes through and everything. However, there was one, and I'll probably show you this as we hit the websites a little bit later, one of the rabbinic things, they said, you know what? It's gone through this process to be from pork skin into gelatin, and therefore we consider it kosher. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Okay? I'll show that to you here in a little bit. Yes, sir.
Okay. I got an example here. We like Rice Krispie treats. They're made with marshmallow. Most of them are not kosher. This particular one has on the back the word, when it gives the ingredients, it says gelatin. Then it has an asterisk. And when you drop down to the asterisk, it says kosher certified. So there's no symbol on this, and yet it's kosher certified according to what they wrote at the bottom. So if I take them at their word,
yes,
which we don't even know what that means, but let's just say we did, then this is kosher certified.
But it doesn't carry the mark. It
does not carry the mark.
Well, not on this particular package. It could be that there's something on the box that this came in.
This is it's a six-pack box.
Oh, okay.
And this is just one out of the six. So.
And typically when that happens, they say not packaged for resale or something like that.
Yeah.
Usually when you have them in a pack like that.
Doesn't say that.
Doesn't say that? Okay. All right. So just to let you know, if there is a K on the product without the circle, the circle K or the circle U or any kind of a symbol.
Where's the circle K?
K, right there on
circle K.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All
yes.
Of these are trademark, patented, whatever you call it, copyrighted. I don't know what the
registered
proper.
Trademark?
They are trademarked. You cannot use these without being, with this organization that uses it, okay? But there is no copyright on the letter K. So they can put the K on there, which makes you, if you're not in the know, makes you think, oh, it's kosher, K, yeah. No. Okay? So, something very near to my heart.
Uh-oh.
Cheese.
Oh, no.
Yes, cheese. Okay? I can't think of a single meal that I can't put cheese on. Okay? If I can't put cheese on it, I'm kind of disappointed. Okay, oatmeal. I don't put cheese on my oatmeal. Okay, cereal. I'm thinking of them all of a sudden. But you get my point. I love cheese, okay? I really do love cheese. Well, there, when you look at the ingredients on cheese, they have two things in there that just at face value, you don't think anything about it. One says enzymes, and the other one says rennet, R-I-N-N-E-T, rennet. Both of those typically come from animal-based processes. And pork tends to, once again, be the standard. Okay? So now I am going to switch over here to mirror displays. So this may take a couple of seconds. Arrangement, mirror. I want to go to... Do you see what I see? You do. Okay, here we go. Let's make this a little bit larger. Oh, you know what? I found something out the other day. Is this the one? Yes. I've had Macs for 15 years, and the other couple of weekends ago, a guy that just got a Mac, I was about to do the expanding and everything. He says, you know, if you push that third button right up there in the upper left, it makes it, maximizes it. I'm like, get out of town. And sure enough, there was. Okay. So, here we go. I didn't even realize till this morning that I had two different folders. See, I have my Hebrew folder. I don't know if you can see that. But anyway, here are all of my bookmarks. And here's my Hebrew. I have calendar pages. You can see everything. I mean, if there's something, I throw it in my Hebrew folder. Okay? And then within my Hebrew folder, I have subfolders. Well, I pulled out my kosher products and kosher foods. I didn't realize I had two folders. So instead of trying to figure it out this morning, I just went with, all right. So, see over here, well, here's a whole bunch. There's Star K kosher, yeah. Kof K kosher, CRC. So anyway, here's a whole bunch of them. But kosher foods, there we go. Let's see if you can, all right. Now, I have not researched these fellowships. This one's called Yahweh's Assembly and Messiah. But I've read their website, and it's like, okay, this is just telling us facts about how cheese is processed. All right? So pork and cheese. Let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger for you. Yeah, you can read that now. Okay, so enzymes, rennet, R-E-N-N-E-T, I think I said I-T, but R-E-N-N-E-T, never paid much attention to it, don't eat pork, shellfish, is that enough? The process of converting milk into cheese is dependent on the use of enzymes. According to the folks at Kraft Foods, rennet, the inner lining of the fourth stomach of calves and other young ruminants. A dried extract of this lining used to curdle milk. Let's see here. Proteins, biochemical, catalysts. So, okay, that's from cattle. So, that so far, that's clean. Okay? Another term to be familiar with is mono and diglycerides. Commonly used to add it to commercial food products to act as emulsifiers. In other words, it helps to keep the ingredients to be able to be mixed up, okay? Oil and water. These can be cow or hog derived or vegetable. They can be made synthetically, which brings up a whole different aspect, you know, synthetics and what are they doing, and I haven't even gone down that path, okay? So all of this can be found in ice cream, chewing gum, shortening, whipped toppings, margarines, confections. Most all who follow Yahweh's words know without a doubt, pork, shellfish, can't do it, okay? Back to rennet and enzymes. Let's see here. My search commenced. Learned that in our geographical area at this point in time, there is not one American cheese that we can eat, okay? Because they use pork-based enzymes or rennet in order to make American cheese.
According to
this company. And he says it's in his region. I don't even know what region he's in. Missouri?
What does American cheese mean? Is it a type of cheese?
American cheese really isn't cheese.
So it's not Swiss cheese?
No, American cheese isn't.
It's a processed.
Okay, so that's a single type of cheese in a single area.
Right.
That he cannot get.
Well, none of the companies that produce it
in his area,
they're all pork based.
But he's saying you can't eat it.
So why is he saying just his area?
Because that's where he did his research, I guess.
That's where he did his research.
So how does he know what's outside his area?
He's not claiming anything outside his area. He's just claiming within his geographic.
So this does not apply to us.
Maybe not.
Okay.
But as we move along, I'm going to point something out, which I don't understand, because he says in his geographical area at this point in time, there is not one American cheese that we can eat. What a shocker, okay? I was raised on American cheese. I didn't know there were other kind of cheeses. First time as a kid, they gave me an omelet with cheddar cheese. I wouldn't eat it. I was like, eh. Okay? I'm like, what's that? My mom says, cheese. I'm like, that's not cheese. Where's my American? I wouldn't eat it. It tasted weird, okay? My palate has matured, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and jump down here where it talks about, here, Kraft Foods. Now, you would think that Kraft would be in his Missouri area. It's a national brand. Down here it says the enzymes used, he called up the company and talked to them, the enzymes used to make our cheese powder and our Kraft macaroni and cheese derived from an animal source, and they put in parentheses calves and sheep. So that's clean. Kraft macaroni and cheese, according to what they've written on their website, is good. In relation to Kraft singles, the enzyme in this product is not from an animal source. So right there, that says that American cheese from Kraft should be good to go.
Yeah.
Because it's not animals based. Okay?
Okay.
What is it?
But up here, he's saying that in his area, that American cheese, he can't eat American cheese in his area. You would think that they would have Kraft national brand in his area. Okay? I noticed this as I was reading through. I'm like, well, he's saying no American cheese, but yet Kraft says that it seems like it's okay. So I've not written him, taken the time to say, explain this to me. I'm just looking through all of this, okay?
Can you go back to that spot again? I can't get past this yet.
Let me find that spot.
The American cheese part?
The American cheese part.
I'm there it is, right there.
Okay. Look at the way the sentence is crafted.
It says, my search commenced, and I learned that in our geographical area, at this point in time, there is not one American cheese.
One American cheese. One implies there's more than one type of American cheese. Otherwise, you don't put one there.
I think he's relating to brands. There's not one brand of American cheese that we can eat.
I agree with her. He's just saying that he hasn't. But then down below, you saw five or six paragraphs down, he says Kraft seems okay. So you would think that he would have Kraft in Missouri. I don't know.
This is just not kosher. Sorry, I just had to do that. Okay. Don't leave this until we get back down to that bottom section.
Okay. Well, here's some other things. Domino's Pizza. Rennet is used in manufacturing of our pizza cheese. And it says it's made with the microbial rennet as far as our other cheese. Domino's purchased from many suppliers and does not specify the source of all ingredients. And this is true for all of your pizza places. And your Mexican food restaurants.
Papa John's.
And, oh, Papa John's has kosher?
We already checked with them, yes.
Okay, so Papa John's has a kosher cheese.
Yes.
Do you have to specifically ask for it?
The new corporate, because he sold it.
No, he got kicked off the board.
Yeah, he got removed from the board.
So is it still that way, is what I'm asking.
Okay, I haven't asked since he got removed from the board.
And what about Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut has
shrimp in their sauce.
Yeah.
And their red sauce.
And the red sauce.
So if you go to Pizza Hut, you have to ask for the white sauce.
White sauce.
Okay?
How do you know that white sauce? Well, I had looked at their ingredients a long time ago, years ago, and I didn't see shrimp in their sauce.
Well, there you go. That's what you can do this week is look for it.
Well, I haven't been to Pizza Hut in years.
Yeah, make it grind it up where you can't see it.
Well, I'm on the list.
Do you see what we're dealing with?
Yeah.
Well, okay. You got to understand something too, from an organic chemistry perspective. You know, and this is the issue that I had years ago that I found really puzzling. I mean, when I first began this walk, I was overseas. I couldn't read the labels, and we didn't have kosher samples over there.
Okay.
Wow.
And so,
you mean the Jewish mafia hadn't made it over there yet?
If they did, I didn't know what it was. Anyway, you know. And so I had to go with just what was written in the scriptures. You know, and then when I got back here, the thought never even occurred to me about processing. It wasn't until that presentation.
Lori's?
Until, you know, it was like I began to think about that. In fact, if you listen to the audio, there was a big, you know, stink during that presentation.
I think that was cut out.
Oh, well, it's a good thing then.
I know nothing.
But it got pretty ugly. But anyway, my situation at that time was like, what are you talking about? I mean, because it says, you know, I was thinking in terms of the text, you know, saying basar and not, you know, anything else. And having the background that I have in science, I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Because if you're dealing with molecules, you know, no matter the source, the molecule is the same. You know, and so I really have struggled with that. You know, I went through, you know, a few months of struggling over that issue, you know, and finally just gave up and was just like, okay, whatever, you know, just show me what I can and can't eat. But I was very upset for a very long time because it made no sense to me. I mean, what if we have, you know, we're processing dirt, you know, and we have, you know, molecules from that. How are we going to not know that at some point in time an animal, you know, hadn't died and dissolved right there so that all he was dust as us? You know what I'm saying?
Mike's got an answer to that.
You know, and then, you know, and then of course, you know, you think about our plants and stuff like that, but no, then you're at that next level where you got to think about where your molecules are coming from. And that goes back to the enzyme thing.
I don't know that God wants us to get to the molecule level.
Well, see, that was
He
my
just pretty
point.
Much said,
that was my
don't
point.
Eat pork.
Yeah, that was my
ruminant
point several years ago.
Mammals.
Yes.
With cloven hooves.
Yes. That,
okay.
And see, they
you didn't talk about
kind of
trying to find the molecules.
And see, this is what my problem has always been. It's like, how are you going to know where that enzyme came? It's molecular structure exactly the same if it came from this animal or this animal or this plant or this plant or this animal and this plant. You know, that a certain enzyme is that enzyme. You cannot tell where it came from. And so I still, in the very back of my mind, I wonder about this. You know, it doesn't make... And then when I went to Israel, I've got them telling me, you know, that this wine is kosher, this one is not. Well, why? Because a Gentile touched that. It's like, well, if
yes.
you went through all of this stuff just to go to produce... wine, and then you ship it off to America, and it goes into the Kroger store,
and their Gentile employee comes and stacks it on the shelf, it's not kosher anymore.
No. It's not. It's not. It's the actual production part. In fact, I read an article.
It's everything.
Everything. As long as the product itself can be touched by a goy. And there was actually an article I read to where an American bought an Israeli wine vineyard, whatever, and making wine and everything. And he was touring his property, and he went into the wine processing plant, and they said, stop. And he's like, what? I own it. They said, if you go in any further, we can no longer claim our wine as kosher. He says, but I own it. You're a goy. But I own it. If you don't want, or if you want the kosher symbol, you cannot go in. It's in the processing portion that just walking in the room, it immediately removes kosher. But yet, and I agree with you, over here in America, the rabbis are going into American-owned companies and saying, as long as these, I agree with everything, and you've got goy up the yin-yang making our products, and yet they still consider, but yet Israeli wine, in order to have that kosher symbol, no goy has been in that process. But over here, they agree to allow it to happen. Okay, Dennis, you're shaking over there.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, and according to the Tanakh, I don't see anywhere in the Tanakh where it says that any of the Torah laws are applicable to a Gentile who's not in the language. Okay? So I think...
Well, we've had this discussion before.
We go crazy. I mean, we go nuts and crazy over all this stuff. When God gave the command, he gave the command at Sinai to the Jews who were there.
He gave it to...
I know that they're Israelites.
Went into covenant with them.
Yes.
With him.
Went into covenant with him at
so
that time.
We are the same as the mixed multitude who went to Sinai. We are putting ourselves in covenant with Yahweh and accepting his covenant, therefore we fall under his covenant rules.
I'll argue with you, I don't think we do. All right?
I'm sorry you feel that way.
I don't think we are in that covenant. Okay? I just don't think we're in the covenant. However, he is our God.
So
he's God, all of your God.
So,
and I think that we are not commanded to do this. We're not commanded. That's all I'm saying. Yes, do the best you can. Really, do the best you can. No matter what we do, whenever we go, we're going to go through the same thing you guys talk about. The rabbi is doing all these crazy things. We're doing the same thing. Because somewhere along the line, in the Messianic group, it's going to come down. It's going to come down to the point where someone is going to say, well, today, we've decided that, if you eat rennet, don't eat rennet. And it's going to, we're going to develop, just like the Karaites do, they develop their own laws away from the rabbis. We're just going crazy. I mean, I've seen the same thing with Julie and her family. It's the same thing, Beth, that you're going through. You go crazy. You say, what am I doing?
Well,
relax. It's fine. When God gave the Torah, he gave the Torah to the people. He said, don't do these things because they were being done all around. All right? Don't eat pork. There were reasons that God said don't do that. All right? I don't know what the reasons were, but many of the reasons in the Torah that God gives in there, many of the reasons that God gives is because these are the things that have been going on all around the area. And he didn't want his people to do those things. So if you want to be my people, don't do these things.
Exactly.
Right. But he gave it to those folks at Sinai.
So you're saying that it totally died away once all the children of Israel died?
No, I'm not saying that.
It's no longer required.
No. So who is to say? I mean, are you a relative of one of the
No.
Huh?
No, neither was the mixed multitude.
Well, I'm talking about the mixed multitude. Are you a relative of the mixed multitude?
Could be.
Don't know.
You could be of Esau, too. You could be of Ishmael. You could be of anything.
Well,
true.
You know, one thing.
Right? Look,
you're either in the covenant or you're out of the covenant.
Well,
you're either in an agreement.
What covenant?
There's
what
only
covenant?
One covenant.
There's...
You know,
they
continued, you know, what... I consider myself to be a child of Abraham, okay?
So do I.
Okay? And you can follow that thread between Abraham, even through Yeshua, okay? It's all the same covenant. It all, you know, built on everything else. You're either in that covenant or you're out of it.
Well, what is the Abrahamic covenant? You're talking about the Abrahamic covenant now, right?
The Mosaic covenant...
At Sinai.
Did not replace the Abrahamic.
Did not replace it. It fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant.
No.
When they moved into the
they never fulfilled all the land requirements of the Abrahamic covenant.
But what I'm saying is being the father of many nations and having the land, those two things, you know, when they finally got to the promised land, they saw that fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. And every generation that has been since then, and those who have come into the covenant through Yeshua, they are children of Abraham. Okay?
Well,
they're part of that covenant.
The Abrahamic covenant relates to being a great nation and all that.
Okay, hold on. Jackie?
I think another point that we're missing here is when God gave the command, he said, don't eat these things because the people around them were doing. But he also said, this is not food. I think that's an important point. This is not food. This is food. This is what I want you to eat. So I think that there are health reasons as well that he gave these restrictions.
In Genesis chapter 9, right after the flood, God said, all of the food.
Okay, hold on. I agree with you. It does say that. Who was the audience? First of all, the story... Hold on, Dennis. Hold on. The story was not written at the time of the flood. It was written after the flood by Moses. Who was the audience of the story? The entire book of Genesis was a story written to who? We know who about, but who was the audience, the original audience?
The audience was the people at Sinai.
Exactly. Do you not think that they would have understood what food meant, which is exactly what Jackie got through saying? Food are the clean animals. And you say, no. Well, then how did Noah know to bring clean and unclean animals onto the ark? The original audience, no, wait.
Okay.
The original audience understood what food was, clean animals. So to say that all food, that's the same argument that the church gives us all the time. Oh, Noah said all food was clean or could be eaten. No, he said food could be eaten. Continue.
Well, perhaps some of the things that the church says is good, actually. I mean, perhaps it is. You know, it doesn't mean that everything...
I agree with that.
Okay?
I agree with that.
But one of the things I tried to find out, and I've been unsuccessful at doing it right now, I think the clean and unclean animals that Noah is talking about, I don't think clean and unclean was only derived by Noah at that point. I think that that idea of clean and unclean was in probably many, many civilizations. All right? Now, I haven't found... I look for it, but I'm not that good at looking at stuff. All right.
I think you're grabbing at concepts that
No.
We only hear about clean animals from Yahweh.
Well, because we don't look elsewhere. And I think it's there. And I think most of the stuff, I think we'll find it. I think that there are clean animals. I'm sure in Egypt they must have had.
According to God, there's only certain clean animals. Now, to the Goy nations, to the pagan nations, whatever you want to call them, they ate everything. But God says, I don't want you to eat everything. I want you to only eat, these are the clean ones. And I'm going to kind of disagree in terms of for health. We add that label, what we are trying to, in our Greek mindset, put on to God. Why would God say no pork? Well, nowadays we know all the bad things about pork. Okay? Oh, God was looking out for our health. Well, I'm sure he probably was. But he just said, don't. Okay. No. He didn't give a reason. We in our Greek mindset are trying to place those labels on why God said to do these things. Okay, Mike?
If you look at the outcome and eating things that Yah says not to eat, you see the evidence. There is actual physical evidence that you can see that when you eat something, like let's say a pig, if you eat something, you eat pork. Okay, so that we know that the pigs have maggots in them. We know that there's worms. We know that there is no nutritional value whatsoever in it. And Yah, I believe he knew that. So that's just an example. He knows these things. And like you said, as far as like Greek mindset, as far as placing the reason, it's not so much placing the reason for me than it is. We're seeing the evidence now. Even today, I'm sure they saw the evidence way back then. They saw it then. So you can even, things that we're not supposed to eat.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand what Jack, and I to an extent do agree, but when it comes down to it, God just said, don't, okay. He did not give a reason why.
We have derived
these categories saying, well, this is why. It's kind of like, and I've given this example before, when I finally decided to start wearing tzitzit to work and publicly, one of my coworkers, she was like, what's that? I said, well, they're tassels. The Bible commands us to wear them. Well, why? Well, because God said. Well, why? Because God said. Well, why? I don't know why. I understand that. But in this instance, he does give a reason, okay? But she was not satisfied. Again, this is our Greek mindset. Give me a reason, and if I agree with it, then I'll do it. Well, when it comes to food, and it did that discussion after about five times of, well, God said to do it, and I'm going to do it. Well, why? I finally said, well, the commandment reads that wear it so that you can remember my commandment. Oh, okay. Then, see, Greek mindset, I can agree with that. Therefore, no, I'm not going to do it. But if that turns you on, go for it. But with food, we don't have those reads. That's what I'm trying to point out. With the food, he just says don't and do. And he says, this is a statute forever. It's not one of those only for the children of Israel. If you can, and you said yourself, Dennis, I love God and I'm going to do what pleases him, then
right.
How can you?
Yet I don't feel like we are commanded.
Well, you're the only one in here that feels that way.
I know.
So, and we all know that. We all know how you feel, and you all know how we feel.
So, with that, let's go ahead and keep going.
All right. Okay, stop there.
So here are some Cabot brick cheeses. They are marked with the kosher symbol, by the way. As far as what I have seen, they also have the halal, which is the Muslim kosher. That's not really proper language, but they have the halal marking on them, okay? So that's another discussion, which I don't know I want to get into right now, but Sargento cheeses are all clean as verified by their website.
Question?
Yes.
Okay, the cheese that I brought today for the taco meat that I brought today, which is gluten-free, by the way, the cheese is Sargento. So I'm just telling you. So you're gluten-free and kosher simultaneously.
I have a real big problem with this process. God told us don't eat pork, don't eat these things.
True.
Flat out. You know, yeah. Back in the day when he told us these things, right?
Right.
All right. They didn't do all the processing. They didn't have all the stuff to where they
brought. I don't think that they had the cheeses the way we have cheeses today.
Exactly.
They had curds and other things, dairy.
First of all, I don't trust the government. Why would I trust little symbols that don't packages anyway? Okay, I don't believe any of that.
Okay.
And my personal opinion is, okay, I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to eat pork. I'm not going to eat the things God told us not to eat. But when it comes down to reading labels and everything else, I'm not sure I'm going to get into all that. But that's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
That's what I want.
And that's where I started. I said, this is my walk. And I'm sharing it with you. And I agree with Dennis. There's going to be a messianic. There's going to be whoever that's going to come down and say, if you don't do it this way, you're not doing it the right way. We can't account for that, okay? All I'm trying to say is this is my walk, and these are the things that I'm struggling with. Scott. Go for it.
In all reality, can you 100% prove that the symbols that are reliable?
No. And I said that.
I mean, trust them.
You can't.
Yeah, and there's stuff out there that doesn't have the labels. Like, I was just on a cheese site, you know, when doing Trim Healthy Mama, they always encourage you, have Laughing Cow or Baby Bell cheese. You know, and for the longest time, I thought it wasn't kosher. And I got online recently, maybe a couple weeks ago, and they specifically say the same kind of stuff. This does not have any animal products in it.
Okay.
You know.
I don't mean to.
If it doesn't
have a symbol, but I've gone through. But see, the thing is, we have what are called natural flavors. Okay. Now going back to my yogurt. And there are, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys before, but they use the musk oils from from beavers. Okay. Now, and there's one of my websites in here, which I doubt that we'll get to, but it goes through and explains that beavers actually don't have an anus. Okay. They have these. But the food process, they poop, but it's not an anus. And I'm like, what? So anyway, it goes through this outport on a beaver, which is very close, if not the same hole, that the musk scent comes out of. And they use this musk scent for a lot of yogurts. It's a flavor enhancer, okay?
Yum.
So, it's just like, but see, beaver's not clean. So, I understand we're not to eat these things, but if we're eating the byproducts of these things in our cheeses and stuff like that, but it's marked as natural flavors.
That's because they want to sell it.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think about the air that you breathe. That's not clean either.
True.
That's what I'm trying to. No disrespect to the symbols and everything. That's what I'm trying to say. You're going to take this so far that you're not going to eat, you're not going to drink, you're not going to.
Oh, well.
That's like, we cannot do the GMOs, but everyone knows I hunt. I've gotten to the point where it started bothering me. Yes, I'm out in nature. I'm shooting this deer because.
Deer is clean.
Doubt, my bullet is cheaper than going to the store and buying meat. But. What is that deer eating? He's going in the fields that have been sprayed and everything else. I mean,
well,
how far are you going to can you
true.
That's a good point.
I mean, yeah. I started thinking that way, and you just get to
but,
the point where you can't go that far.
Right.
You
deer is clean, God said. And I think that the like with the, do deers have multiple stomachs? Do they ruminate?
No.
Okay, but they are clean.
Yes.
Okay. Like with the cows, they do have multiple stomachs, and the rumination process going from one to the next and all like that, I think God designed them, and I don't have nothing to back this is just me thinking off the top of my head, that it somehow eliminates some of that stuff. We're talking all But yet, no, it doesn't, because they are talking about pesticides and everything being in, because what you eat, you are what you eat.
Look where your food is being processed.
Exactly.
It's like I took it to the processor and I said, we want sausage, don't use pork products. Well, do you want me to go as far as to clean all my machines? Because I'm going to charge you extra. I mean, if you're taking a sample that's being done in this factory, well, are they making two different things? Are they cleaning all their stuff? Are they not cross-contaminating? See, that's what I'm saying. You don't take it so
you
far.
You don't know.
Your heads won't fall off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's my point. Because one of the things I've seen, and I've seen it in this assembly, because so many people worry about so many things. I've ridden with Allison, you know, week after week or meeting after meeting. And her, she's, by the time she gets into the car, while the kids are bathed and all this stuff, it's just a whole, you know, always, you know, there's this pressure. You know, it just seems that we put too much pressure on ourselves. Think about the, in the Jewish groups, right? We now have the Reformed Jews and there are others, right?
Yeah.
But many of the Reformed Jews, we are doing, I mean, trying to figure this stuff out. This is what the rabbis did way back when, I'm sure. I mean,
that's why they had rabbis to say, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And the rabbi would say, you can do this, but not this. And that was good for the community that rabbi was over.
And
we don't have that.
Right.
As much as I like Lee.
We're developing. We're going to get to that point.
No, we're not. Not here.
Oh,
not
maybe
while
not
I'm
here,
charged.
But I mean in the Messianic groups, we certainly
Well, we can't account for everyone else.
And what's happened, ultimately, is that the Reformed Jews pull back. Some of them are really eating pork, which I'm not agreeing with any of that.
Yeah?
But
I've got two Jews,
you know,
that I work with. They're both Jewish, and I've talked to them. They've talked to me, and they said, you know, one of them, she's like, yeah, we do Passover, kind of like our Christians who do Christmas and Easter. Yeah, I do Passover. I said, well, do you do Sukkot? No, just Passover. That's the only one I do. But then the other guy I talked to, he's like, yeah, I eat kosher at home, but when I'm out and, like, we go out to lunch, I don't worry about it. I eat whatever. If they give me shrimp, I eat it. Okay? So, I mean, there is vast diversity in how to approach this. Jackie?
I think, though, that this is very good information for people who want to know. If you don't care, that's fine. If you don't mind that your burger is touching your bacon, the bacon at the restaurant, go for it. Eat it. But there are others, and I'm one of them, that appreciate this information because I'm going to try and do as close as I can to God's commandments as I see them. I'm not putting this on anybody else, but I appreciate this information.
Well, on this is this website right here, and again, I'm going to be sending everything out. I'll send it to Lee, and he can send it out to everyone. Down here at the bottom, and I've had access to, and it's actually in Lori's teaching as well, this website right down here, the Israel of God. I have used this one, okay? Now, this page, now they have little links, but it's all one very long page, okay? So you can see right down here, and they have it broken up into categories, dairy and fruit products. So knowing that, I come in here, and if I want to find something, I do a search, okay? And it's like, okay, I want to find out if, let's say, Sargento, okay? Oh, there we go, Sargento. They're Mootown snacks, cheese and sticks, cheese and pretzels, cheese and craft. They use rennet, it's beef, and it's clean. This site, this is what, I don't know how many people, how long they've been doing it, but they've gone through the process of calling up the companies and saying, what do you, and they check back with the companies on a regular basis. Do you still only use beef rennet? Yes, whatever. They keep track of this and they keep it updated. So they will let you know if it's clean or unclean. One of my vices, I chew gum. Some people smoke, chain smoke. I chain chew, okay? Gum, seriously. So when I found out that gum has gelatin in it, and really? I never knew that, okay? Some gums do. So I come up here, and I did my little search for gum. And Double Bubble is clean. It's non-pork, okay? Here is Mentos candy and chewing gum, all varieties. Gelatin beef, cochineal. Now the gelatin beef is good, but the cochineal are bugs, and the bugs are unclean. So see, someone's already done all this work. So I use this website on a regular basis. Now, if I have something that, and I search on here for it, and it's not here, I have a choice. Either don't buy it or call up the company and do my own research. Okay? I'm sorry, what? Trident. And it is on this website. And they say that Trident gum, as long as it's not the... Trident has the multiple layer type of gum with the flavor in between. Those are not clean. But just your regular straight Trident... plain, you know, this one is the original flavor, and then they have a green box. Those are kosher. But the multiple flavored gums, layered gums, are not. Okay? So here, let me look up, I'll just look up Trident. Okay, here, let me increase the font size on this. There. Okay? Cadbury Adams, Bubbaloo Bubblegum. Non-pork, it's clean. It's a subsidiary of Kraft. See, they even let you know that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Okay? Trident gum, regular, glycerin, vegetable, it's clean. Trident layers, all varieties, pork, unclean. Trident splash, pork, unclean. Trident for kids, cow milk protein, it's clean. Okay? I didn't know that. But you can look this stuff up on these websites.
Down?
I'm sorry?
What is the next one down?
Stride. I don't know what that is, but it's Cadbury Adams. I don't even know if it's a gum. I would assume it is since it's with all the other gum. And it's non-pork, it's clean. But all gum products containing gelatin. So that means you have to look at the package for Stride. And if it says gelatin, then it's pork, and it's not clean. So, again, some of this work has been done for us so that we're not left wondering, okay? Which I'm going to jump way ahead on your phones. If you can look, now, those apps tend to fall under all of those different kosher symbols. They have apps that you can download, and you can scan foods, and they'll let you know if it's clean or unclean.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But that falls back under that rabbinic star K, whatever, says it's good. But if you were, it's possible you go to Circle K, and they say, no, it's unclean. You know, it goes back to the old argument, which the Jews say about themselves, we can have two Jews and four arguments, you know, or three opinions or whatever. So, anyway, these are websites. I am going to send them to you. So let me go back to my presentation. All right. What am I doing here? I just want to... Hold on. I don't know what that is. Cancel. I am going to unmirror... Get rid of that. Come here and go there. And am I at cheese again?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move off of cheese.
Ah!
Let's go to restaurants.
Yeah, that's another big one.
Okay.
All
of these things come into play at restaurants. Okay. Which is what you just said, because I had discussed with you. You know, when you go in and they're cooking their food, you say you don't want the... I make fun of my daughter all the time. She goes into a Mexican restaurant. She says, I want your burrito supreme, but don't put tomatoes on it. Don't put this on it. Don't put that on it. I'm like, well, why didn't you just order a bean and cheese burrito? I'm like, I make fun of her all the time. By the time she's done, she's got a bean and cheese burrito. And I'm like, I don't understand you, okay? But you, even if you don't order a bacon burger, all of it's cooked on the same grill, which goes back to what Scott was saying and processing your foods and everything like that. So that's something to keep in mind, okay? It is what it is, all right? So food prep and cooking, everything's just, they don't, now if you go to a Jewish restaurant, you don't have to worry about this because they have the kosher side and they have the non-kosher side. Not that they're eating unclean foods, but there's, and if you go into Orthodox Jewish homes, they have a kosher kitchen and right across, five steps across, they've got their unkosher, non-kosher kitchen, okay? They've got duplicate of everything in the Orthodox homes, and especially in the ultra-Orthodox, or at least they try, okay? So you don't see that outside of Judaism, where you go into an Applebee's and say, do you have a kosher kitchen? They're going to look at you like, what? Okay, it's not there. So these are things, if you don't mind your burger being cooked right next to the bacon that's being warmed up to put on the burger next to it, okay, go for it. But these are just things that I think of, and it's like driving me crazy, okay?
But when you don't worry, are you disobeying God?
When I don't worry?
Yeah, if you, like you were just saying, with bacon and burger.
That's between God and I.
Well, that's the whole thing I'm getting at with all of this.
Rick, that brings up another point.
I don't want another point. No, go for it.
Because now you got me thinking.
Uh-oh.
Last year, here again, took the year to the processor and sausage. Then somewhere after we got it and was eating it, I don't know if it was staff, someone said, hey, was this made with pork products? And I was like, never thought about that. So then I called up there and asked him. He said, yes, we use pork fat. So I guess technically I sin. But what am I supposed to do now?
Well, that's in the beginning where it says.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But
just repent.
The way I look at it, we didn't know.
Exactly.
So you're
technically, we didn't sin.
No, according to Leviticus 4, you're still guilty. And if there was a temple system, then you would be required to.
There's no temple.
Exactly.
So then what?
Along these exact lines, at one point, I took Anna and Lauren out to lunch, and we went to Chick-fil-A. And Lauren bought their salad. And at about halfway through, she started noticing, like, wait, what's this? And they were small, chopped up pretty fine. And she kept knocking them off to the side. And I picked one up and I looked. I was like, I think that's a bacon bit. And she was like devastated. I said, Lauren, you know, number one, you didn't mean to order. You didn't know it was in there. It wasn't up there saying that there were bacon in it. Okay? So you didn't know. You ate it. God, forgive me. At this point, there's not a sacrificial system. I'm striving to do your will. I know that we all eat stuff that is not clean.
Same thing at work. They, 9 times out of 10, they put little paper signs on the window. This meal contains pork. But what we run into, they put them, they don't serve, they serve us the same stuff, but not the same, it's kind of confusing. The offenders eat a meal, but then we have different food. Well, they come in before us, so the signs are up there for what they ate. They don't change them when we come in.
Okay.
So one time we had spaghetti. Not thinking, sitting there eating, and one of the guys at work knows that I don't eat pork. And halfway through the meal, he's like, oh, I can't believe you're eating the spaghetti. I'm like, why? He said, because it has pork sausage in it. And I was like, what? I said, how do you know? He said, because I asked him before what goes in it. So I went up and I asked the cook in the back. I said, is pork sausage beef sausage? It was pork. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you stopped eating it, right?
Huh?
So you stopped eating it.
Yeah, peace of my mind, but well, why did you put the signs up for them and not us? And then I was like, well,
right.
Forgive me, I didn't realize what I was doing.
True.
That's what I'm saying. And you're doing the same thing, like you said, every time you go into a restaurant.
Well, the next one.
Unless you go back there and you look, you don't know what's going on with your food.
Mexican food. Okay. You know. You know.
It's hard to cleanse my dinner. You know, from defiling your temple. You know, that's essentially what these rules are for. Okay. You know, we just they're to let us know what is clean and unclean, so that we're not defiling our temples, where the Holy Spirit resides. And that, you know, I think that goes along with what was going on there at Mount Sinai and through the wilderness wanderings and when they were in the promised land and the whole thing. You know, God was dwelling among them. He needed a clean place to dwell. You know, and if the Holy Spirit
is doing that
in us,
I don't know
we need
why
to do our best to keep our temple clean. You know, and that includes what we eat for that very reason.
Okay. Let me just run through this, okay? I got my PowerPoint points. I've got to get through them, okay?
Yes, please.
So anyway, Mexican food. Refried beans are typically made with lard. Lard is pork, okay? So I always ask when I go into a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, I say, do you cook your beans with lard? A lot of restaurants, Mexican restaurants, are going vegetarian with their, they just use oil and whatever to refry their beans, okay? And so that's, but tortillas, typically made with
lard. What is a tortilla?
The flat, white, round disc.
Oh, okay.
That's a tortilla.
Okay.
Okay. Spanish rice. I went to a restaurant, first time this has happened. I go into a lot of Mexican restaurants. Mexican restaurants and I are good friends, okay? So, but these are things I think about. But I it was in Louisiana when I was doing my tour in August, and I went in and did my typical thing. I said, excuse me, do you put lard in your beans? And she's like, I don't know. I said, well, I don't eat pork, and therefore I need to know if your beans. And she went and asked, and she came back. She said, yes, they do. I said, well, do you have black beans? Because black beans, she says, well, we actually, normally black beans are not cooked with lard. Well, this restaurant did. She says, you can't have that either because we cooked that with lard. I was like, okay, well, I'll just have the rice. She said, well, we... I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We even put lard in our... I was like, well, I may have to leave. You know, I might not be able to eat here. But in the end, I think I was able to get away with the taco, okay? They didn't put lard in their beef to flavor it. So, but that was a first. But she was kind enough. Once I told her, I said, I don't eat pork. And when I was looking at the menu, and she's like, oh, we put pork in that too. I was like, oh, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. And I gave her a very big tip for a taco, okay? But she was kind enough to do that, all right? But that's a first. Usually, it's just, you know, once I ask, it's just the refried beans. I was like, okay, I won't have that. I'll have black beans instead, okay? Because typically, I mean... 99% of the time, black beans are just black beans. They don't do funny stuff with them, okay? So, but that, as I found out with this restaurant, what other foods do they put lard in that we don't even think about? It goes back to the bacon burger on the grill at Applebee's, whatever. These are things to think about. So it's like, do I ever go out to eat ever again? Okay? That's not likely to not happen. Okay, so we have to work our way there. But here's the next one that's really been heavy on me, our medicines. If you have a gelatin cap, most likely that is pork-based gelatin on your medicines. Now, when you go to the rabbinic authorities, they discuss this, and they say, well, if it is for a life-saving procedure, doesn't matter that it's pork, you can take it because life, you know, life trumps everything, okay? If you, in order to live, you have to do this. And then just the other, a couple of months ago, one of my coworkers had to have a valve put into his heart. Pig valve. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. Hopefully I never have to make that decision.
I am never giving up my X-Lax.
That was a smooth move. I don't know. Apparently it does.
The scripture doesn't say anything about having unclean parts within your body. It only says don't eat them, right?
But it says don't even touch their carcass.
But you're not touching them because you're unconscious when the doctor put it in.
But you have to sign approval for it prior to.
I'm still not touching it.
I think that is.
I don't know. See, these are. It's like, what? I don't know. Would I put a pig valve in my heart in order to live? And according to the rabbis, they say life trumps everything because once you're dead, you can no longer serve God.
No. Okay, Jason, what do you got?
I don't get it. All these freaking levels that somebody has. You know, are you sinning or are you not sinning? Okay? It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, it is.
I think what you need to do, you need to sit down one-on-one with God. You need to pray to God and ask Him, what am I doing wrong here? Am I okay? Is this the level I need to be at? You know, because people have different lifestyles. People can afford different things. And like I said earlier, with the friggin' air that we breathe, we're not glorifying our temple here, okay?
Well, we have no control over that one. Well,
we have no control over what putting in these foods either, because I guarantee half of them are lying to you.
I wonder about that.
True.
I
agree with you, Jason.
But my question is, at what level am I'm trying to do, okay, if I read labels and I try and the things that jump out at me and I know it's wrong, I don't eat those foods.
Exactly.
But if there's some that I'm missing that I probably don't know about.
When I started, you should have walked out.
I don't get it. I think man has pushed this to so many levels and destroyed what God has originally told us to do in the beginning.
Amen.
But see, to an extent, I agree. But God says, don't do this, and we're being tricked into the great deceiver is deceiving us into doing what God says not to do. Should we not be aware of these things and try not to do what God says not to do?
And like the ingredients and everything else you talk about with the processing, okay? Yes, further on down the line, there's probably pork involved in a lot of this stuff.
I agree.
I'm going to stress my body out by reading a list and trying to find this name and putting more problem on my heart and my temple by trying to read what's in this food.
Okay. And more power to you.
Because stress is a killer.
True.
The same.
I forewarned you. I'm going to go back to my very first point. Should we leave now?
I agree with you. Because I want to find this stuff out.
Okay. So, a whole bunch of websites. I'm not going to switch back over. It takes too much time. Whole bunch of websites. I'll send the pertinent ones to you. I don't care if I send them all. If you want them all, I'll send them all to you. You guys can do with them as you want. These are just things that I've come across over the past 6-7 years. It's like, oh, I never thought about that. And as I read about it, I was like, I should keep that. And so I save it in my bookmarks. Okay? So this is 6 years of when I first started this walk. I can tell you there's a lot of things that I didn't even consider. And then as I'm trying to get closer to God and understanding that we are being deceived, these are just things that are, it's like, wow. You know?
Forward.
Lee.
You all can give me feedback on this. He's going to provide us with a lot of websites. What I can do is take those websites and put create a page on our website, and it's only it, the only thing the na- only name that will be on it is kosher discussion or kosher whatever. And when you go to the page, there'll be a link to each one of these websites so that you'll have access to that information should you decide at any point in time you want to look up something. You don't have to carry it on your phone. You don't have to remember it. You don't have to print it out. It'll just be on the website. Does that sound like a good solution?
Yes.
To make the information available is all I'm trying to do.
It'll make it a lot easier.
Okay. All right. Well, I will handle that.
Kosher consideration. Oh, by the way, does anyone remember this? The funny title that he gave this talk 2 weeks ago? He said Rick's going to talk about kosher, and then he said something funny about it, and none of us can remember between the four of us. Does anyone else remember the snappy little title that he gave? Okay. Well, guess it wasn't that snappy.
Let me know.
Wasn't that memorable? So, having said all of that, it is what it is. It's just a matter of what to do with it. And I can't answer that for you. I started in the beginning saying I'm not going to tell you that you have to do it this way. These are just things that as I'm doing my walk, these are considerations that I've come across. Okay? Love you. Bless you. Don't be mad at me.
Love you too, Rick.
Thanks, Dennis. Mr. Smooth.
Okay, I have a question.
Do you want me to stop recording?
No.
Okay.
Going back to the time of Moses when they were moving through the desert, if somebody had chosen to eat a pork chop made by a foreigner who passed through, is there a penalty for doing that in the Torah?
Yes, Leviticus 4 covers that.
No. I'm not looking for how to handle the transgression. I want to know if there's a judicial punishment that goes with that. In other words, if somebody steals something, you may have to give that back plus 20%.
Right.
That would be a judicial action.
Right.
If you eat pork at that time period, was there a judicial punishment for that?
I can't think of anything off
Does
the top of my head.
Does anybody know of a judicial
I cannot
punishment?
Think of a judicial one. All I can think of is the spiritual reason.
Well, that's you still know? Valid, but yeah. I'm not asking that question. But that is valid.
You know, I think probably the spiritual reason is probably the most important for us at this stage.
Today, but now back yes. then they did not know that.
You know, and if we refuse to understand or accept the spiritual one, then, you know, what's the point of the spirit living within you?
Agreed. But once again, that's outside the scope of my question. If there are some violations, there are some commandments that if you violate them, there is a judicial action.
You were stoned, or you were excommunicated,
or
you had to go out of the
camp 7 days.
Right.
Okay, if you touched something that was unclean, you were out of the camp 7 days.
Right.
But you can eat unclean, and there is no punishment to go outside the camp.
I don't know that.
Huh. But also think about the purpose of the Day of Atonement. You know.
What?
Think about this. I mean, if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, and if you're eating things that are unclean, you're defiling your temple.
Okay? No disagreement.
Okay. If you take that back to the, you know, older times.
Okay.
When they had the temple, there were times that things, you know, caused the temple to become defiled.
Agreed.
And so the remedy for that was, you know, taken care of on the Day of Atonement. Right? So that parallel is there. It's more that, you know, you need to cleanse the temple, you know? Or like for us today, if we find that we've eaten something inappropriate, we need to go to the Father and we need to ask Him to cleanse our temple.
I agree with all of that.
So that's for us, that is the remedy, you know, for the problem. I don't think it's so much a criminal penalty, you know, but the thing that is most important is for us to maintain as clean of a temple as we can.
Totally
and
agree
so
with
that's
that.
That's why we need to guard what we eat.
No disagreement. Still outside the scope.
Yes. So
if
I
you
don't
touch
think
something that's unclean, did you have to go out of the camp for 7 days?
It didn't say that.
I think
okay.
being unclean is just until evening.
Is it until evening? Yes, you have
certain,
to go camp. You remain unclean. Unclean until evening.
The point is, he's just asking, here's an example of if you touch a dead animal, there was a judicial process that had to take place. Is there one for eating unclean foods? Do you get kicked out of the camp overnight? Do you get stoned? Do you whatever? And I don't know that answer off the top of my head.
Do you become ritually unclean if you eat a pork chop?
Definitely.
Where's the text?
Well, how can you eat a pork chop and not touch it?
With a fork?
Once you put it in your mouth, you're touching it.
You're touching a dead animal.
Same thing as a pig valve in your body. You're still touching it.
You got a point. Okay, what is the judicial penalty for that?
I don't know.
Death.
I keep telling you, I don't know.
Answer.
We can look.
That's true.
We will look it up. All right. I'm going to turn off the recorder. It's 3:36.
We're going to take a short break and get ready for praise and worship.
Okay. Go from there. Thanks, guys. It was fun.
Thank
even
you.
Even though we got sharp with each other.
It was fun.
It's all right.
Yep. We would be remiss if we did not find...